is a Woodside Church podcast.
Good morning. I just want to bring you also greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I really feel like the Holy Spirit has already ministered to us this morning through the prayer and the worship that we have just had. And it is just a honor and a great privilege to be able to prophesy to you this morning from the Word of God in the Bible. Let's just begin with a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you because you love us so much, and your love endures forever. Lord, we thank you because we can come here to worship you. Father, I pray that you will open our eyes and hearts to what you want us to learn today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I will be sharing with you this morning a word from the Word of God, and I will be talking about divine healing as a journey toward restoration. Amen? And I feel all the songs that we have sang this morning have already introduced what I'm going to say. And one of the things to talk about this, healing and restoration, I feel like this is something we just need to remind ourselves what the Word says, and then we do it together because God wants to minister to us this morning. So I will be reading from the Old Testament and also from the New Testament, and I will be reading about the mission of the Messiah as prophesied in the Old Testament, and then I will be reading about the fulfillment of the mission of the Messiah who comes to proclaim the good news to the poor and also to bring healing and restoration to people and nations. And then we'll be talking about how our role today as a church to continue this mission, because he commissioned all of us to do it. Let's just read from Isaiah chapter 61, and as we read the first three verses, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are born, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of pain spirit, that they may be called ox of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Now, this is the promise about the mission of the Messiah. And this promise now, this prophecy, is now fulfilled in the Messiah, Jesus, the Son of the living God, as recorded in Luke chapter 4. We read verses from 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the Lord, the year of the Lord's favor." And then, now the Messiah commissioned those who believe and sent them to continue the mission, as recorded also in the Gospel of Mark, the last chapter, as we read from verse 16. And he came to Nazareth, After he appeared to the 11 themselves, as they were reclining at table, and he rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons, they will speak in new tongues, they will pick up serpents with their hands, and if they drink a deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover." And all this in Jesus' name. Now, this is one of the things, I just want to bring us few things about these readings. And all these readings are telling us about the mission of the Messiah. When Jesus came to the world through incarnation, that was the fulfillment of the prophecies of the Old Testament, as we have just read from Isaiah 61. So when he came, ministered, complete his ministry, died for all of us, and now, before he ascended to heaven, he has commissioned those who believe, including all of us here, to go and continue the mission that he started. And one of these, of course, the mission of salvation, the mission to bring healing and restoration to individuals, to nations, to communities, basically to come and heal. So that's why we plea for divine restoration and healing. So our role when we talk about this morning, we're just crying for that. God, have your way of healing. Have your way of restoration in the things that we see around us. Now, the Bible, when we talk about healing and restoration, the Bible talks about a few things that I just want to mention. So, first, physical healing. God is really concerned about our well-being, whether our physical well-being, and that's why we see through the Bible, through the New Testament, even the Old Testament, God bringing healing, physical healing, that people are freed from disease, are free from injuries, are free from things that tied them physically, so that they are free. We see this, the Lord Jesus opening the eyes of the blind, healing so many diseases, even people being raised from the dead. So this is God's healing and restoration of the body, so that that person will continue the mission God wants them to do without not to worry about. And that's why when we pray, we also pray for this physical healing, that God have your way to heal us and heal other people. Now, the Bible also talks about a spiritual healing, which is really important. And this spiritual healing is the heart of the message of the gospel. Because spiritual healing means restoration of life, from darkness to light, from death to life. Basically, being in Christ is being restored to the person and the human being that God ordered us to be. The Bible says that if anyone is in Christ, it's a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. And the new now is the new us, restored in Christ Jesus. And that means forgiveness of sins. That means reconciling with God. That means reconciling with other people and with ourselves. That's the new person. So when somebody believes, as we do all of us, and then we decided to follow Jesus, then we are baptized, then we are raised from death. We are now new us, new me in Christ Jesus. And that's why we talk about this as a spiritual restoration. And that's why when somebody says that, I believe in Jesus, I'm born again, we are actually saying that I've been restored into the image and the person that God wants me to be. That's why when we see sometimes somebody we know very well, they go somewhere, they met Jesus, they are restored, and then when they come back to us, they are a different person. We say, like, what happened to this person? Because they are now restored in Christ Jesus. And this is important because it also includes our redemption. We are now the new creation. And all of us here, we are the new creation, the church that is now represent God's presence in this community, in this world, in this town. And we are then commissioned to continue the mission of the Messiah. Now, when we talk about physical healing and spiritual healing, the Bible doesn't connect them very much. Somebody can be restored spiritually, but can also have some kind of unanswered, you know, prayer of healing. So that's really important for us to understand. And now, after we experience the physical healing and also the spiritual healing, we have something else that we call relational healing. And this is very important. Our relationships has to be healed as well. You know, when the disciples asked Jesus about the most important commandment, he gives them three kind of arrows of relationships. First one, with God. Second one, with other people. And third one, with oneself. Now, sometimes when we come to Christ, we are restored, we are new people, but we still struggle with healing our relationships. And this is where we talk about grievances. This is where we talk about broken relationships. This is where we talk about the things that we lived in the world and now we are in Christ, but sometimes we forget to ask God to heal all these relationships. That's why we hear about grievances. That's why we hear about, you know, people not maybe happy about, you know, with other people. That's why we see, you know, sometimes we can behave like if we are in the world. So God wants to heal our relationship with God, with him, with other people. And that involves actually forgiveness. If I'm in Christ Jesus and I have any grievances with anyone, the right thing to do is to say, you know what, I'm sorry. Forgive me, or I forgive you. Because that's also healing. And that's what brings us then to our emotional healing. Our emotional healing. So when we need to be healed, our relationships, the things that we are holding against other people, the things that other people are holding against us, it needs to be healed. Because God wants us to be free, so that he used us in a mighty way. You know, sometimes when we are not healed in these ways, we feel like we are not free, we are tied. And simply because if, for example, I want to preach to you now the word of God, and then suddenly I see somebody whom I have grievances with, that will steal my peace immediately. We'll say, oh, he or she is here again. Oh. So wherever you go, you will find that person. Because that would be now the thing that you need to deal with. So healing relationships bring us freedom so that we stand before God and before other people who say that I am free because God has restored me physically, spiritually, and also my relationships. Now, before I say anything else, Let me just remind us that God is the healer. God is the healer. Amen? Because sometimes when we are involved in frontline ministry and God will glorify his name, it is very easy to forget that actually he's the one. And it is very simple to point people to us, like we become some kind of a superman, superwoman of you know, healer. You know, we see this. But God is the healer. And that means healing is part of God's character, of God's nature. It is like when we say God is love. So love is part of his nature. It's one of the attributes of God. But now, he has given us this love as one of the fruits of the Spirit through the power of the Holy Spirit. We can also love because God loves us. He has given us this privilege. So God is the healer. The book of Exodus, chapter 15, verse 26 says, and God declares here very carefully that I am the Lord who heals you. I am the Lord who heals you. So he's the healer. The other thing I want to mention, as we already mentioned this morning, that healing happens in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. You remember Luke chapter 10, when disciples were sent by Jesus, 72, two by two. He gives them very clear directions, what to say, what to do, including heal the sick. So when, in verse 21, when they now come back, they were pleased. They said, even the evil spirit obeyed us. Oh, wow. Wow. You know, so it was like a surprise for them that even the evil spirit obeyed them. What they did know, that happened in the name of Jesus, who sent them. And Jesus simply tells them, friends, don't rejoice because of this. Instead, rejoice because your name are written in heaven. In other words, he's telling them, this all happened in my name. That's the authority that I've given you. You should not be surprised. That's part of the package that I give you to go and preach the gospel and heal the sick. And then, in Luke chapter 10, verse 24, Jesus says, what you see now and what you hear now, there are prophets and kings and great, great people in the all who wanted to see what you are seeing, and they have not been able to see. And that means you are a blessed generation. Because, you know, the disciples were treating it like any other thing. And he told them, no, this is a special privilege for your generation to be able to go and heal people in the name of Jesus. And that's why it is important for us to remember. Of course, we know that prayer, healing happened because of prayer. We pray because we believe. But most importantly, with the intervention of the supernatural power of God to make things work. And that's why we pray with the anointing, prayer, believing that God who promised in his word will do it. That's why we pray. And I believe every single word I'm saying right now because I've seen it in my life. So when we pray, we're just actually implementing what God says, the command, pray for the sick to be healed, and then they are healed, whether physically or spiritually as well as emotionally, and all kind of things that we need. One of the things I need also to mention here is that healing and restoration happen according to God's will. This is very important. Because sometimes we pray and it doesn't happen according to what we desire, or we don't see the result, or it is a long time, or we have so many unanswered prayers. And if we are not very careful to think that it happens because of God's will, we can be simply disappointed. If you pray like twice, three times, and then it doesn't happen, you can be disappointed. The first time, you know, when I was a youth leader, we used to visit hospitals, you know, and then we went to this hospital, somebody was very sick, you know. So we came like this childish face, you know, we prayed really that person will survive. And then when we left the next day, we were told that that person actually passed away. And I was so disappointed, like, oh God, you promised that we pray and it will happen. Why that person passed away? But then I realized, oh no, this is according to God's will. It's not my desire, what I want, that will happen. So God has a plan. And that's why we see what is recorded in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 to 10, about the unhealed situation with Paul. Paul, God used him in a mighty way to heal, but he had also himself a situation that was not healed. And maybe he stayed with that situation for life. And that means God's will is the most important thing that we need. Another thing which is really important is what we call end-time healing or end-time restoration. And this is what we are longing for as Christian believers. We are looking for this. In Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 to 4, it tells us and declare this. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. There will be time when everything will come into restoration. When we don't need to worry about what I'm saying right now, because we will be fully restored as we live for eternity with God. So that's what we're longing for, we're looking for. But before we go to that one, we have a mission to proclaim the good news. To proclaim the good news, to go and heal, as the Lord says. And that's why it is really important now to see that when we go to heal, we remember that God is our healer. It happens like any other type of prayer according to God's will. The good news I have this morning for all of us is that God, he still heals today. Hallelujah. He still heals today, this morning, now. And we are all living witnesses of this. We have seen this, especially those of us who have been in some kind of frontline ministry. We have seen this a lot. We have seen people being healed. We have seen people being restored from crime to Christ, from people who are almost left behind by society to the people who come now and restore fully in Christ Jesus. We have seen this in our life, and he is still doing it today. So God is sending us this morning as well to go and preach the gospel. But we need to remember that this is the commission, that we go and heal the sick. A few years ago, we had a situation of somebody. We were very young, you know. We were students, about seven students, in a city called Cairo in Egypt, and we were just praying every Friday, you know, to encourage each other and you know, and grow together. Then one day, we were actually asked to go and pray for somebody who was sick. And that person was sick for 9 years. So that person was taken to all kind of anywhere they could find healing. So it could happen. So the family gave up. And then one of the students who was also with us had a link. And from that link, they said, you know, there are these young guys who are making noise every Friday. I think these guys are very serious, you know. They seem to be very serious in what they're doing. And we were just sharing a few verses. Anyway, we were asked to go and pray for that person. You know, we believe the word 100%. But we have never seen immediate healing in my life. And all of us, we are just the same age almost. So we didn't even know what we expect to happen. But we believed the word, and we believed that in the name of Jesus there is healing. Then we went to that house, and we began to pray in one accord. Father God, you promised that you will heal when we pray. Now do it. That's really the prayer in Jesus' name. In a few minutes' time, that person jumped that I've never seen anybody jump, and there were so many other people as well. And then in a few minutes' time, that person came down like somebody who had just finished a marathon, breathing. And then that person said, I need some water. And then was given some water. And then that person said, you know what? Something I've just gone away. I had somebody else inside me that has tied me all this time. But now I'm free. I'm free right now. And then we began to share the gospel with that person. And that person, up to this time, praised the Lord. Hallelujah. So it happens. We are all commissioned to go. Now, one of the things, when I talk about this, you will think now I'm some kind of a supernatural somebody, you know? Because sometimes this is how it is. When God does things, and then we make a category, like healing ministry, or, you know, prophetic ministry. But actually, according to the Bible, God has given us all this privilege to be used in harmony. So I don't need to go and form my own healing church. All of this has to come together. And it is not one person, it is all of us. The only problem, if we don't go, it doesn't happen when we're sleeping. It doesn't happen. But when we go, God is there for us. And that's what God promised in Mark chapter 16. And those who believe will be followed by this sign. Cast out demons. You know, and I remember also a situation we had in Khartoum, Sudan, when we were informed that one of the families was attacked. You know, David, a few months ago, talks about demolishing strongholds. And I have seen this in my life. So this person, this family, was under attack physically by demons. So a mom of five and her husband, something happened that the devil attacked them, and the mom and the children, all their belongings were burning in the house and not the house itself. And the father's belongings were not burning. So that family struggled for a week. And then our pastor, I was a youth pastor but then, our pastor asked us to go and investigate what is happening. So four of us, myself and Jesus was there, and other two people. So we went there, and then I've never seen this before in my life, that the devil will attack people physically, using knives and cups and fire. I've never seen this in my life. So we went there, and when we were approaching the house, everybody saying, hey, don't go there, don't go there. Then we said, oh, we know what we are doing. We went there anyway, and we talked to them briefly. then we realized that they did actually understand the common language everybody understands. And then we said, okay, we will come back next week with somebody who understands the language. So we came back the week after. They were okay from Friday until Thursday, before we came. On Thursday, they were attacked again. And two of the children were really burned badly and were admitted to hospital. Then when we arrived on Friday, we didn't even know what was happening. We were so confused. But we decided that, you know, instead of talk about what happened, we just share with them the good news. They have to give their life to Jesus. That's why they will have this authority now to resist the devil. And that's what we did. They give their life to Jesus. And God delivered them from this attack. And years later, they were just continued to be blessed by God. Hallelujah. So this is a stronghold. We will not see this until we go to the front line to preach the word I'm telling you this morning, that God is still heals today. He does it today. So God is able to heal physically, emotionally, delivering people from these strongholds of demons and people who are caught up in captivity. And finally, I just want to also mention that there are very difficult times when we have to go to front line. God will put us into very difficult situations, but he knows that his supernatural power will be there. 2017, before I came here, I was in Finland, Teresa and the boys came here already. I was there just preparing myself to come here. There's a family we know very well. They had a child that was born very sick, and they were even advised to deliver abortion before the child was born, because that child would be really sick for all his life with heart problem. So the mom said, no, we are not killing somebody. Let that child be born so that we can we then can die when he comes. Anyway, so what happened is, on that day, I was with them. So the child had been there already 6 months. In the first 2 years, he had very big heart surgeries, very big ones. And the child was there for 6 months. The hospital gave them a room where one of the parents would stay and then would go back home. And they were living in another town, which is away from the capital of Finland, Helsinki. On that day, a phone from the hospital, they told them, you have to come now. And I was with them. They knew that something happened. So I had to drive them from their home to the hospital. We arrived to the hospital, and we were told, we were taken to a room where there were a doctor and two nurses. Then we were told that, you know, something happened. The child has passed away. That was a very difficult situation. And so we were told that something happened. The child has passed away. We were shown a video of his inside, and it was just like the wall. So already dead, and the child was full of water, you know. And they said, you know, that's why in a few minutes' time, we will give you a time to look, to have a final look to the child, and then the machine will be taken, and basically it will be prepared for a funeral. At that point, they have already sent two social workers to this school where the other children are. They have also sent two other ones home to help the family. They have already contacted the pastor of the church, of the hospital, to prepare and help the family with the funeral. So went and had looked at the child, and then we were asked to move. Then we went to the room again, and now this time they just removed the machine. And then while we were in the room, five of us, because I've also called somebody else from I know, and then he came. And then another nurse that was brought to bring counseling to the family. And then mom of this child asked me, Samuel, do you believe that God can heal my son? That's the most difficult question I have ever been asked in my life. Because I had a chance to say no. I don't believe at this point. Or to say, yes, I believe. And I really, I believe. I said, yes, I believe the word of God. And then she said, please, let us pray that the child will be raised from the dead. Because if not, people will be laughing at me. Because I said to many people that God will keep my child alive. And then while we were praying, the other nurse actually who was brought for counseling, she said, I'm also a Christian believer. But at this point, in my capacity, I should not pray with you. But because of this situation, I'm also praying with you. We prayed, and then we said, amen. I don't remember exactly the word I prayed. But there are times when you just need to feel the presence of the supernatural power of God being manifested in a situation. And you need to forget who you are, even your name. Because now it's not about you or about anybody else. It's about him who wants now to intervene for a miracle. And you need to be prepared for that. So we were prepared for this. So now when they removed the machine, we were asked to come and have a final look. And then the child would be taken to be prepared for funeral. So we came, all of us, surrounding the child. And then we're just really, the mom was crying in a way I've never seen in my life. You know, and while we're just thinking about this, and they give us a chance to have a final look and then move, and then the child would be taken for funeral. And suddenly I could see the child moving his tongue like this. I said to mom, hey, the child needs some water. And the nurses were asking, like, how ignorant is this person? You know, you don't know what does it mean to die, you know. And then mom, of course, you know, she's very happy with anything. And then she brought some water, sponge, and then put some water, you know, here, and then again. And then while we were just confused about what is happening, the child opened his eyes. And everybody ran away, you know. Everybody ran away. What is happening? What is happening? And then the head doctor came. She's one of the scientists in Finland, I should say this. And she has been a doctor for 42 years, you know. And so she came and she said, oh, don't worry, you know, this happened medically. It can happen, you know, somebody, but it doesn't mean anything. Anyway, we stayed there. And then when it was taking longer, they said, okay, the child would be removed to another room so that it can pass away and then we'll be prepared. We were there for six hours. Then they said, okay, now you can go home and then we'll call you if anything happened. So the dad remained there and mom, I drove her back home. The next day we came, the child was now calling mom. And then they said, okay, now we have to bring back treatment, which means they removed the water from the child. To make this long story short, the child is alive today. Amen. Hallelujah. He's alive today. And he's in this country. And if you love Liverpool, he's in Liverpool. And this is just for God's glory. So I'm just telling you that we don't take the word of God for granted. You know, sometimes we read the Bible, but if we have never seen it, it will not make sense in our life. I've seen this, and this has given me assurance and encouragement and faith that I believe in the word of God, that God is still heals today. That's why God can heal you and can use you to heal other people. The Bible says, heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved. This is Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 14. And that's what I want us to do now. I feel the Holy Spirit want to minister to us this morning. Hallelujah. So we'll be praying. There will be also a prayer team here. But in the next 2 minutes, I just want us to maybe to rise or sit down, however you want, to pray. Pray for each other. Allow the Holy Spirit to minister to us. And we also ask maybe the band to come forward and just, lead us in a very short music as we come to the end of our service. Can I ask all of us to rise and pray? God still heals today. Hallelujah. He still heals today. But most importantly, he has commissioned all of us to go and preach the gospel and heal the sick and bring restoration and reviving people, renewing people, restoring life, restoring relationships in the name of Jesus. And this is what I want every one of us to go from this building today, knowing that you are also part of this. Hallelujah. We are all invited. There are no supernatural men or women among us. We are just all a restored community that is sent to bring healing in Jesus' name.
You have been listening to a Woodside Church podcast. For more information, visit woodsidechurch.com.